Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cleo live on blogtalkradio.com every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 p.m. Join the conversation at 347-826-9597 or hit me up on Twitter at Real, RealMSCLEO. Hello, my dears, and welcome. Happy Monday. You are here listening live to Cleo at Conversations with Cleo. I hope everyone had a most wonderful weekend. I know in some parts of the U.S., things were quite chilly and quite cold and wintry and snow and sleet and rain, Rastafari. So much things going on over the weekend. However, some of that makes a great deal of sense. We had a new moon yesterday on the 10th in Pisces. And often you will find interesting vibrations connected to the weather and how things move forward. Because certainly if the moon changes the vibrations of the water levels on this planet, what more must it be able to do or interact with when we are speaking about weather, that is water or snow or rain or storm, even tornado, all of these things. If you even take a moment to look at certain natural, quote-unquote, events that occur out of weather, you will find very often that they happen within 3 to 4 days on either side of either a full moon or a new moon. So that's just something to make you all aware of. The water, even this evening, I am hoping to jet out and maybe go up, have a little cocktail up at Mulligan's so I can see these waves that they've been talking about in Lake Worth the whole weekend. I was unable to get up that way for the weekend because I spent such an inordinate yummy time at green markets. You know, sometimes you can just really get very wound up. You can green market shop until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I don't think it took us quite that long. We did realize that we wanted to get up and hit a couple of them. And so traffic being what it was, or what it is during season, we were up and probably out of the house about 9 a.m. And we headed over to the West Palm Beach Green Market, which is quite a sizable green market. Very enjoyable. Everything from flowers to fruits and vegetables, to other food vibrations throughout rum cakes, different kinds of cakes, different kind of cupcakes. You also have a couple of vendors there that do natural dog treats. However, we were able to go visit our friend Deb and Coco at Dog Pack Snacks and pick up our regular. So we're sending out love to them always. And that's the green market that you can find Dog Pack Snacks at. So we went and we picked up our Dog Pack Snacks, and then we went to our wonderful pickle lady, and you all have seen me tweet about her before. They are these delicious, sweet and spicy pickles. The woman does it well. She does it extremely well. And she's gotten so busy that when we first met her at a green market, it was just her. And what she typically does will put a little cream cheese or some kind of little spread on her Ritz cracker, and then she tops it with one of these spicy sweet pickles. And I have to tell you, bar none, I actually had a vegetarian, semi-vegetarian sandwich this afternoon. And what I did is I took some of my veggie hummus spread, and then I put two small slices of Manchego cheese, very thin. It is a sheep's head cheese from Spain. And then I put my sweet pickles on the top, and I put it on two slices of wonderfully no sugar needed wheat bread. When I tell you, And if you really want to dress it up for yourself, you can even put some romaine or some butter lettuce and some sliced tomato. And what a really, really refreshing, yummy, tasteful. I didn't feel like I was missing a meat of any nature, not even a protein such as fish. I was so happy to just enjoy the flavors of this meal. And it was raw for all intents and purposes. So that's really something that I'm coming along with. I'm not saying I'm going to change up to a raw diet tomorrow. That's not happening. I do like to cook, and I do like cooked foods, but I also have the energy and the openness to enjoy a raw food meal from time to time. So that was a lot of fun. And then popped over to the Lake Worth Green Market, which is only probably about 4 or 5 minutes from me, and may not be that long, it's probably like 3, and popped over there and picked up a few things. I went to go see my spice ladies, and they put together such amazing spices, and I love their blends, and they do them, and there's not a whole bunch of every ingredient, you know my rule. Every ingredient on the label, if I can't read it, I can't eat it. And I can read every one of those. And then there's a beautiful little family there. And they are from Argentina. And they have an empanada stand. And if I tell you, I don't care what you say to me, Miss Cleo, I've had the best empanadas in the world. I'm telling you, you haven't had the abuela's empanadas. She is precious. She hand folds them. She hand fries them. They do everything right there, fresh on the spot. I have been eating these empanadas now for probably about 3 years. And if I tell you that I ever had one that wasn't good, I'd be lying. But each and every one of them is delicious. So we are very excited because we're going to be featuring the abuela's empanadas at my CD release party. So I am very excited for my friends who have not had a chance to get over to the Lake Worth Green Market to try her empanadas as well. Now, just on the backside of things, my dears, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about small business and supporting small business and holding small business up and saying that we have to turn ourselves back into community. But understand that with small business or with anything smaller, whatever faux pas, they tend to shine brighter. You understand? And you don't necessarily want a faux pas to shine brighter. So when you are a small business, and you all know this, any of you who are business people who are within the sound of my voice, and even those who are not, you know, as a consumer, you appreciate good customer service. You understand? And as a business owner, you have to know that customer service is your priority. And so, Ms. Cleo, why are you going on like this? Well, unfortunately enough, a small business that I have supported off and on for a number of years, just simply about where to find them, I had placed an order to the business, and I thought it was as clear as it could possibly be. It was reconfirmed a few days later. And then when I went to go and pick up my items, I was met with, oh, well, my goodness, good thing you got here, because this is all I have left. So I have to tell you, in the moment, I was probably a bit menopausal and I didn't like it, but I wasn't rude at any point in time because I do know this individual. And certainly she has her own challenges, as we all do. But when you are in the business of business, you understand, then sometimes that personal stuff that's going on for us, we really do have to find a little cradle to put it in. Until we can readdress it again. So I'm not doing this from a place of anger, as well as angry as I was on Saturday. But my product wasn't there. I had done everything I was supposed to do. I had ordered it. I had reconfirmed the order. I had said, yay, I'm excited, coming to pick them up. How wonderful. And met with a lot of excuses and ultimately with the fact that my order was not complete because the others had been already sold. And some of you may be saying, well, Miss Cleo, maybe she wasn't sure you were coming. Okay, I'll give you that. I don't know, when we live in a world of email and text and whatnot, they're received as direct communications. Perhaps that was not the case. I personally felt that it was just met with some excuses, which I didn't appreciate because I really have tried to be supportive. And personally, we'll be stepping away from it for a little while because it hurt my feelings, because my dollars do count. And if you feel as a small business owner that you don't have time to appreciate your regular customers' dollars, then perhaps you need to just reevaluate then who your target market is. And you know me, I won't do a bad review. I won't call anybody out. But I think that it's important that, you know, people understand, both consumer and business owner, that customer service is something we're all looking for because it is lacking enormously in the big box stores. So what will keep us paying a few pennies more and going to a smaller place is that experience. You understand? It is the experience of being treated as if you are special, experience that you are important, experience that they are glad to see you when they enter your establishment, when they see you upon the street, when they see you at Wong Green Market. And just so you all know, this did not happen at a food truck rally. I have had nothing but positive experiences at any of my food truck rallies. However, this did indeed happen at one of the green markets. And while it is a different venue, and certainly, you know, it is not a brick and mortar, it is about people coming together within the community, that even still then, how vital it is for you to be welcoming, to be engaging, to be gracious. And if someone makes an order and you're concerned that they may not be coming to pick it up, what you do is you take down the name, you take down the number, you call, you confirm, you do whatever. The other flip side was at a brick and mortar establishment that I went to this weekend, and I called in my order. The person on the phone got it wrong. I went in. I didn't check it. First was my fault. I didn't check the tab. I went in, and what my mistake was is when I called in the order, I don't think, my name is Cleo. Somebody says, in your name, please, I say Cleo. Often if I'm out with my partner, I will use her name and just to kind of make things simpler. But clearly, once I walked into this establishment, what they had put two and two together. So I had a bunch of young people giggling and snickering, which I didn't pay a lot of attention to. Can I have my sandwich and my go? Well, I get, now that was in West Boynton Beach, all right? I get all the way back to Lake Worth. And I realize, I stop, I look at the sandwich, and it says beef. Well, I don't eat beef like that, and I was splitting the sandwich with my partner. She doesn't eat red meat of any nature. So clearly, they got it wrong. So I called, and I said, I'm coming back. I'm not really happy about it, but you guys got the order wrong. I drove all the way back. I walked into the store, and certainly I was trying to contain myself because now I'm pissed. Now I've wasted gas. And in the interim of going back to this establishment, what happened was is they called me and they said, oh, bring back the other sandwich too. Now, I've called it in. It took me 17 minutes to get back there. Do you know that when I walked in the door, my sandwich wasn't ready? And some of you say, well, that's probably a good thing, Miss Cleo, because you don't want them to mash it up. Look here. Put the other sandwich, and the rude boy that took the order over the phone, I never heard you say chicken. That's not my problem. You understand? And you're not supposed to argue with your customers. You understand? If you made a mistake, own the mistake and bring it back in. So I think they thought that I was trying to shake them. I don't know. Clearly, them think me while I run around worry about some fucking $12.31 sandwich. Here's the other deal. I went back online, found out that they didn't refund me because the chicken was cheaper than the steak. You understand? And this is all that went on. And there was one, possibly not as old as I am, but maybe in 30s, maybe he was supposed to be the manager. I'm going to call the regional manager and say, look, you know, really? This is really so unnecessary. And I gave them a tip as well. I wanted to ask for my tip back, you know. But certainly here, they will see no more of my dollars. And unfortunately, that particular store, I am gracious enough and grateful enough that there are two other stores in the area. You understand that I'm going to be more than happy to share my story with via email so that they can take notice and that they don't poorly treat their customers, because you really don't know who you're waiting on. Eh? You can suppose, you can suspect, but you don't know who you're genuinely waiting on. You understand me? And so sometimes that may come back to bite you in your backside. So This is a lesson learned to all of my small business owners out there, as well as to my consumers. Understand you are. I even told the people when they finally got my sandwich ready, I told them to have a nice day. They tried to offer me a coupon for a free chip and soda. I don't eat chip and I don't drink soda. And he said, for the next time. I said, there won't be a next time. And I said it with a smile on my face and no tone in my voice. But I was quite annoyed at that point. You understand? Because they didn't do due diligence. Their customer service was poor. Here is the real shame. Their product is quite tasty. So I ended it there. We're going to take a quick pause for the cause, my dear, son, and get me a little water. And I'm going to send out some love to my friend Coco over at Deb Pack Snacks. I'm sorry, Dog Pack. Dog Pack Snacks are made by hand in small batches from grade A USDA inspected ingredients. They are licensed by the Florida Department of Agriculture. Dog Pack Snacks use chicken, not chicken broth. They use apples, not applesauce. Lean meats for high protein, fruits and veggies that have excellent nutritional value. Coco tested and approved. Coco is the chief tester on board, and she is a divalicious canine. So visit her at www.dogpacksnacks.com. And if you'd like to follow Coco and her crew, hit them up on Twitter at Dog Pack Snacks. Have a special event coming up like a wedding, concert, a big week visiting for a very important corporate meeting, or just a night out on the town with friends? Looking for that right limo service? Then check out Live Limo. 10% off your first service, 5% off when you open a corporate account. You can contact them at 800-557-5154, or if you're local, 561-414-9686. Check them out on Facebook, or you can visit their website at www.livelimousineusa.com. Live Limo, the most reliable luxury transportation service in South Florida. Ask for Carlos or Nadla. Tell them Cleo sends her love. White Apron Catering, elegance, class, and sometimes a little bit of whimsy when you want it done right. Whether it's an intimate dinner for four or a gala for 400, they can meet your every need. The chefs there are wonderfully energetic and they always have a smile on their face, at least when I visit. Freshness with meticulousness to every detail on that plate. So the next time you want it done right, you want to keep people talking until you have that next party, I want you to pick up that phone and dial White Apron Catering, 561-585-2985, in Lake Worth, 1710 North Dixie Highway, and tell them Cleo sent you. Maybe they'll send me back one of those fabulous chocolate chip cookies. See you around. Okay, before I run off on that tangent about customer service, I appreciate you all always for listening to me when I have a little bit of a rant and a rave. But look here, we had some really delicious breaking news in the last 48 hours. And here's the deal. Whole Foods has made an enormous move, and I have to give some respect. What they're calling it in the article is upscale emporiums of healthful food and organic foods. It's a place where you can get cleaner food. It's a place where you can get healing herbs, etc., etc. You can get soaps and lotions that are far more embracing of our skin, of our needs in as far as our engineering is required. All right. So now you all know that last year, the voters in California did not vote for labeling. However, very soon, Whole Foods is going to make that practice mandatory for anyone that that they sell their products back to their customer base. And this has been thought about and brought to the forefront here by Whole Foods co-chief executive Walter Robb, who described it as a customer demand for labeling, and that it has been a constant drumbeat, a steady drumbeat from their customers. And so I say to the customers, which are you and I, and the people who shop at Whole Foods who have continued to send emails, to ask questions, et cetera, et cetera. Just recently, I don't know if you all heard about the issue of horse meat discovered in the UK and plastic in milk in China and the recalls of almond and peanut butter in the US. People are very, very conscious of this, and they feel they have a fundamental right to know what's in their food or what's in the food that they are purchasing. Mr. Rob said the government has not been willing to take on this issue, so it's going to have to happen differently. And even again, now this is a bigger, this is a corporation. Whole Foods is not a small place, but started out small. And what I'd like to be able to share and that I support Mr. Rob in saying is that it's going to have to happen differently. You notice he didn't do a lot of criticizing of the pile of manure or the government. He said, we're going to have to do this differently. Now, you all know that Monsanto dumped over $8.1 million in an attempt to break down the attack campaign, when the issue was on the ballot last year. And as well as PepsiCo Inc. contributed $2.5 million to defeating the labeling bill. All right. So it's a very powerful vibration that is behind us not wanting us to know. You understand? So, you know, these are people with money. They spent five times the amount of money that people put together to put the labeling bill on the ballot and to campaign for it. Collectively, Monsanto and the like and the ilk thereof spent $46 million against Proposition 37 in California, which was requesting labeling on all foods. Whole Foods had indeed endorsed the measure. So this is what you need to understand, that the number of businesses, there are a large number of businesses that Whole Foods does work with. So they have more than 300 locations, including 7 British stores that already, but you know, in Europe it's very different, they already require such labeling. So it almost seems as if this is a natural progression here for Whole Foods. The company says it carries more than 3,300 products from almost 250 vendors, businesses, etc., that are certified as free of genetically modified organisms. So that's really wonderful. So we have to stay behind them. This is an effort that is very important. Now, I know some of you say, well, I can't even afford to shop at Whole Foods, Ms. Cleo. I understand that, and I respect that because the prices are up there. Here's the deal, though. We will be talking in the coming weeks and months about different farms and such in our area here, and then we're hoping to expand it out so that people know where they can go and buy fresh produce, produce you can pick from small farms in your community, so that we are also supporting these farmers. And those of you who can afford to shop at Whole Foods, then by all means, go there and support their efforts. Certainly, they are in a better place, you understand, by which to do this because of their revenue, and smaller places may not have that same vibration. But understand that this is where we need to be moving collectively. All right, so that's my food lecture for the day. Just as a quick upside, want you all to know, as I said, the new moon in Pisces. Now, this new moon in Pisces, even though we are still in a Mercury retrograde, is still a very creative vibration, but it's like creativity run amok. It's like creativity on Mr. Toad's wild ride. So sometimes we have to get that creativity in balance. Remember, we talked about this retrograde, practicality, creativity. And sometimes there are those of us who are uber practical. All right. We just love to reside in the practicality, which really kind of limits our creativity. And it makes us a little bit squeamish, a little bit anxious, and even sometimes a little bit afraid to move forward into that creative zone because you don't feel one way or the other about being creative. I am saying to you, you are the ones that need to have the imagination of a child. You know, you couldn't tell a child. I mean, I know when I was a child, I thought just about anything was possible. You understand? Because I didn't know what the limitations were. So we sometimes have to go back to that childlike mindset and recognize that our limitations are man-made and self-imposed. So this is an excellent time to start tying up loose ends before this retrograde, before Mercury wakes up and gets ready to hit the ground running. You understand? So I even have homework and additional research I need to do. And don't make any assumptions. I don't care if you say, I know this place does this, and they do it at this time, and they do it at this price. Do not make that assumption. Assumptions are dangerous right now, in particular in the next 6 days, because this is when Mercury starts to roll over, and he knows eventually I'm going to have to get up. But no assumptions. Try and pin things down. And if you can't pin them down, then try to be very mindful of the choices you make moving forward in these next 6 days. For me, I'm going to continue to do my additional research, not make any assumptions, and I'm going to just kind of breeze it out. I'm going to go ahead and float on in the shore. You understand? I'm not going to fight the water. I'm not going to swim any faster. I'm trying now to take what little bit of time I have left and store that energy, almost like a camel, and store that water so that when the 18th and the 19th and the 20th and the 21st start boom, 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 popping around, you're going to be ready. All right? Now, remember, it takes Mercury a couple of days. So, like, for me, I won't start popping off on things and doing things probably until that Thursday or Friday. All right? Because it goes direct on Sunday. So, coming this weekend. Now, mind you, the last 3 days can get a little bit tricky. So I want you to be careful on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with any conversation, any agreements, etc., etc. Make sure you leave yourself an avenue open. If you're going to tackle something difficult, I wouldn't do it this coming weekend. I would go ahead and give yourself a pass, be patient, think about it, and then you can address it the following weekend if weekend is the only time. Otherwise, address it the following Thursday. And you will probably have a much different outcome if you try to push it forward prior to that. All right. Again, nothing is etched in stone, my dears. This is certainly just the way that I navigate a retrograde. This one has probably been the most conscious retrograde that I have experienced, where I see it genuinely navigating more differently than I've ever seen it before. Or perhaps I am navigating it more differently than I have ever done before. Whatever the case may be, it could be a little bit of both. In this shift, in this new book, we now need not be afraid of retrogrades. We need to embrace the lessons that they can teach us and relish in the break, in the rest that it allows us to think and continue to create and to bring in our practical side as well as our creative side in this building year. All right, so that's where I'm at. Now, quickly on the Politrix in. Tuesday, tomorrow, is voting day, both here in Lake Worth. We have two issues on the ballot here in Lake Worth. And then we have voting in many of our other hamlets, of course, Boytown Beach, please. Support Alan Hendricks. He is a genuine individual. He is a man of the people of Boynton Beach. I genuinely believe that. I know him personally. I'm not trying to sway you, but just think about this. This is a man who wants to incorporate and bring to its residents a walkable community. And quite earnestly, I don't know that politicians use such a warm, inclusive phrase these days that actually means something. I live in what I perceive a walkable community, and I want it to become an even better walkable community. Right now, one of the initiatives on the ballot here in Lake Worth is about high rise and low rise, and making sure that those who want to come and build 20-story high rises can't do so here in Lake Worth, that we protect our low rise. We have a ceiling, a building envelope, if you would, here in the city of Lake Worth. And you know, the propaganda has been very confusing. So we have a very old hotel here called the Gulfstream. And it has been it's in foreclosure now and has been in some need of great repair. And some people are focusing the whole issue on the Gulfstream. I do not believe that the whole issue is about the Gulfstream. We know you can always chase the dollars and figure out what the real issue is. I am myself personally truly a proponent of keeping Lake Worth low rise. That's not anything I'm trying to impose on you all. But all I'm asking is that on a local level is where we have the greatest voice. And on a local level is where we have the lowest voter turnout. My dears, within the sound of my voice, if you live in Boytown, you live in Delray, you live in Lake Worth, please take that moment. Get up, go out, and place your vote. This vote in local government, my dears, actually does indeed matter. Because it happens within our communities. And we certainly can't control what happens on K Street or L Street or on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, but we can indeed contribute and voice out about what happens on Lucerne, what happens on Atlantic. All right? So make sure you get out there and you participate and stand up for your community. All right? So please, by all means, get out there, take the time. It is indeed important. I will be with my partner attending my friend Alan Hendricks' victory party. We're just going to put it out there and manifest it because I think it would be the best bet for Lake Worth. But we will be there tomorrow evening at the Little House in Boytown Beach right off of Ocean at 480 Ocean Avenue. So come and support, and I will be out there with my partner, and we will be there supporting my dear friend. All righty now, we are going to take one more quick pause for the cause, and when I come back, we are going to talk about this very busy comet. We are going to talk briefly about the conclave, and we're going to talk about sharks, because I don't want to leave you all wondering where the heck did Miss Cleo come up with that title for today's show? We'll be back in just a few moments. Need a little comfort food to satisfy your belly and your soul? Then stop by Mother Earth Coffee and Cafe. Homemade bread pudding, buttermilk pancakes, sweet potato hash browns, and homemade turkey sausage. And I'm just talking about breakfast. Don't forget those yummy turkey burgers and those veggie burgers as well. Stop by 410 2nd Avenue North or give her a call, 561-460-8647. The line is sometimes long, but the meal is always worth the wait. Tell Patty Cleo sent you. Need a little comfort food to satisfy your belly and your soul? Then stop by Mother Earth Coffee and Cafe. Homemade bread pudding. If you are one of those people who is open to alternative medicine and naturopathic healing, then I've got just the place for you. It is West Palm Beach Acupuncture. Dr. Henry Shao, Vice President of the Chinese Association of Acupuncture and a Chinese Tai Chi master with more than 30 years experience. Call Dr. Shao today or visit the office for a free consultation. Each session is $60. Do something nice for your health. He's located at 9100 Belvedere Road, Suite 110, West Palm Beach, Royal Palm Beach, Florida. 561-791-9970 or visit his website at www.westpalmbeachacupuncture.com. All right, sorry about that commercial mix-up. You know, that's what I'm saying, boy. At the end of a retrograde, it just gets like, whoa. You don't know whether you're going, coming, up, down, roundabout. It's a little bit odd out there in the cosmos today, so try not to take it personally. And speaking of the cosmos, I think that's a delicious, perfect transition, eh? All right, you know, we had a show, what was it, a week or so ago, at the end of February, right? And we were talking about many of Nostradamus' quatrains, right? And we went over some of them very, very specifically. And then for those of you who are looking at what I've read and doing some of your own research, I wanted to come back to a particular quatrain. And if you all remember, it is in the chapter 2. And it is quatrain number 41. And it says, a comet visible for 7 days, an appeal for help from the British head of state, and the Pope leaves Rome. Now, I'm going to read the English translation again. And we went over this because I was also talking about this with regard to the asteroid. The comet will blaze for 7 days. The sky will display two suns. The British leader will howl all night when the Pope changes countries. Say, okay, Miss Cleo, we got you. What you talking about? Well, here's the deal. There is a comet that will be visible for the balance of the weekend. Visibility began or is coming into motion probably since Saturday evening and will be visible through much of the end of this week, which is about 7 days, all right? And if you go to www.star.com, or you can pick up on any of the NASA feeds, look for the actual comet. There are many photographs of it. Here's the beauty of this. So we'll say there's comets moving around all the time, Miss Cleo. Here's the deal. This comet will be visible by the naked eye. All right? Once it moves out of position nearing the end of the week, it will still be visible, but you will need really, really good binoculars, you know, long distance, or some nice telescope equipment. And when I stop and I take a look at that, this comet is called Comet Pan-STARRS, all right? And they didn't steal that from me, so I'm not going to give no problem to NASA. Check it out. Comet Pan-STARRS is closest approach to the sun, is coming around, and it will make the comet shine more brilliantly when it appears at twilight or in the low western sky, all right? Now, your best way to see this is if you don't have anything obstructing your view. And if you take a southwest look at twilight or at dusk, you know, that place that is that hovering place between day and night, and if you look towards that way, all right, until at least the 13th, you will be able to see it. Now, understand it will be very, very close to the moon, to our moon, all right, on the 12th and the 13th specifically. So if you are in a locale where you can see the first inklings of the new moon, all right, or that crescent moon, rather, and you look to either side of it, you will be looking for that comet. Now, comets do blaze. And you'll see when you look up the pictures at NASA or possibly at star.com, you will see this. And the reason I go back to Nostradamus' quatrains, because he said it will be as if there are two suns. And it will blaze in the sky, visible for 7 days. That's a pretty powerful marker. And again, you understand the intricacies of Nostradamus' quatrains, bearing in mind that it's always code. But it makes one think, you know, because he was talking about these very intense astral markers, if you would, to signify when and where and how. And those of you within the sound of my voice, and those of you who have been following the show for about a year now, here's the deal. We are living in historical times right now. You say, well, Ms. Cleo, yesterday was history, a true thing. But we are living in historical times where 100 years to the forward, they will be trying to figure out what we were doing, what we were thinking, what our plan was. How come we didn't react this way and reacted that way? How come we didn't respond this way and respond that way? So rest assured and find some joy and some glee in the fact that we are living in historical times, and there are so many delicious new things, and I mean new to us, and maybe not new 10,000 years ago, but new to us coming roundabout again. And it's not going to be this huge cataclysmic boom. It is going to be this small, deliberate, amazing change and growth. And that excites me. That makes me have joy for the morrow. You understand? That makes me have joy for the children of the morrow. Because hopefully we've done a fair amount of screwing up, and now we recognize it, and now we're on our path to correct it. Mind you that there's a whole department of these near-earth object specialists. It cracks me up. This one is a woman, and her name is Amy Meisner. I'm so sorry. She says that the comet will traverse. Near Earth Object Specialist, man. I'm sorry. I still struggle with that job title. I want to know, what is that job description, man? The comet will traverse Cetus, Pisces, Pegasus, and Andromeda. Now, for all of my brethren out there who genuinely believe that they are not from this planet and that there are all manner of civilizations throughout this universe, as do I. I believe the same thing. So for anyone who wants to say, Ms. Cleo, are you mocking us? No, because I can tell you I'm not from this planet either. But on April the 3rd, for those of you who are from Andromeda, the comet should be in the same part of the sky as the Andromeda galaxy. Now, that certainly will not be visible to the naked eye, but that is something for all of us to look forward to. And I think it being a 3-day, I think that there is definitely going to be an opportunity for any of us who participate in meditation to really connect with that third eye consciousness. And so if you sit yourself on any place on the 3rd of April, again, try and draw on that energy of the comet and see where it brings you. You know what I'm saying? Mind, body, and spirit, my dears. So this is what's going on right now. So Ms. Cleo, is this going to interrupt anything, you know, electronic, et cetera, et cetera? Well, it might, because again, certainly these near-Earth object specialists, I'm not really sure what their criteria is, but I'm pretty sure that they don't know the whole of the universe, and they can't really speak with 100% security that things will not be interrupted. Certainly there are so many things moving about. Scientists will soon find themselves humbled when they realize how little they actually know. So just to keep all of that bearing in mind, a little more background, that the comet Pan-STARRS was discovered in June 2011. And if you want to know what that name actually is, here it is. Make sure you're listening because I'm going to go slow. Panoramic Survey Telescope Rapid Response System. Did you get me? That means Pan-STARRS. I mean, the poor comets, if they really start to get their feelings hurt about what kind of names they're given, the names are really not very embracing, are they? And what if these comets come with other people? We're just rude. We're just going to stick them in a box. But again, one more time, Pan-STARRS, which is Panoramic Survey Telescope Rapid Response System. Apparently, it was this piece of hardware that they located this comet with. All right. And so maybe on another day, I'll go down that rabbit hole and see what Pan-STARRS actually does.
Certainly, we know that the drones are prevalent and moving about the cabin, don't we? Now, gotta tell you, we are on the countdown now. We are going to be getting ready to go into the conclave. They have put in the smokestack, which I didn't actually realize that they had to put that in. I always thought that was a consistent part of the Vatican and that main building where they will be convening. Interesting. Bishop Angelo Scola is now a cardinal. And apparently he has serious management credentials running the Archdiocese of Milan, Italy's largest and most important, and before that Venice, both of which have produced several popes in the past. He is indeed the one that I spoke of a couple of weeks ago that is absolutely in the top running. They mention him here as well as the cardinal from Toronto. So there is so much going on around the world, and we're not really quite sure where to even lay down our attention. Where I'm going to recommend and where I lay my attention is in my community. It's in my family and strengthening us and sending out good vibration to anyone else who is trying to strengthen. There is an interesting dynamic. The original setup, and this is some of the things that I'm assuming that they rewrote, the original setup is 117 cardinals. For the selection of this pope, it will be 115 cardinals because two dropped out for any number of interesting reasons. They probably could use a reading. I'm so wrong. Anyway, so it will be 115. Now, with the selection of Pope Benedict, or the former Pope Benedict, I don't even know what do we call him now, Ben? But for him, it took 24 hours to choose the Pope. I have absolutely no predictions for this. However, I do find it most interesting that they are still taking their time on convening this conclave. So I find that very interesting. And I find it even more interesting that they seem to be waiting for Mercury to go retrograde the same way, which is interesting to me again, because I would imagine that there will be some impact if the Pope is chosen in the last 3 days of a Mercury retrograde. At that point, I would say, we certainly don't have all of the pertinent information. So that's my update on the conclave. That's my update on the comet. And when we come back, well, actually, before I leave, those of you, we talked about the spinner sharks and the blackfin sharks here in South Florida, and sharks throughout this planet. In ancient Africa, on Nigeria, Benin, Kenya, when we would observe or when we observe intense shark activity, it is a message. It is a sign of great death, so of some sort of calamity. Now, I'm not trying to spread bad news. I'm just trying to teach you all how we view that sign. So with all of this very, very intense shark activity, I would imagine the next week or so is going to leave us with some things that will make us all feel gobsmacked by the news. There will be some shocks. Some will make sense. Some will make us extremely sad, but those, it can be great death or death of a great one. All right. So we have these kinds of things going on. So that was the reason that I named the show what I did, because for me, in the way that I live, in the way that I move through every single day, I am continually looking at the signs. I am continually connecting the dots and looking at the puzzle pieces and what pieces might be there and what pieces aren't there. And I just find it very, very interesting. And I reiterate, my dears, we are living in historical times. All right. On that note, I'm going to step away one more time. And when I come back, I am going to
tell you all about a place where they value the happiness of their citizens. If you are one of those people who is open to alternative medicine and naturopathic healing, then I've got just the place for you. It is West Palm Beach Acupuncture. Dr. Henry Shao, Vice President of the Chinese Association of Acupuncture and a Chinese Tai Chi master with more than 30 years experience. Call Dr. Shao today or visit the office for a free consultation. Each session is $60. Do something nice for your health. He's located at 9100 Belvedere Road, Suite 110, West Palm Beach, Royal Palm Beach, Florida. 561-791-9970 or visit his website at www.westpalmbeachacupuncture.com. All right, my dears, I am back. You know, I had a friend, I was having a conversation with him about a week ago, and he said, you know, I read about this most wonderful place. And he said, you've got to go down the rabbit hole. He said, I'm not even going to tell you. He said, just go down the rabbit hole. And the place is called Bhutan. And its actual traditional name is different. Their actual traditional name is, I'm going to get this wrong, Druk Yul. And the people of Druk Yul are Drukpas. Now, we know it as Bhutan. Bhutan. Go down the rabbit hole with me. What it translates to, the Druk Yul, is land of the thunder dragon. I just love that. And I think that he knew that. And I think there's so much power there. Historically, Bhutan has gone by many names, such as land of the sandalwood, southern land of four approaches, southern land of darkness, and southern land of medicinal herbs. So it's interesting. Now, oddly enough, this very remote area, which is nestled between India and China, and very small, just in the 1970s did it open itself up to any kind of tourism. You understand? Tourists, not so welcome. And even all now, what they do is they discourage individuals. They do welcome certain tour groups and such, but they discourage people from visiting the area solo, or like you would go say, I'm going to go to Hawaii, or I'm going to go here, that type of vibration. They discourage that. And they have recently, in the last 30 some odd years, moved into a very democratic vibration. They do have a parliament as well as they have a king. So it is a wonderful, beautiful little place. If you look it up, the pictures will gobsmack you, because there has been very little fuckery that has impacted this area. And that's because they committed themselves to it. But here is the beautiful paradigm that is Bhutan. Bhutan is a bit of a poster child for metric growth and sustainability, you know what I'm saying? Because while most countries have what they call a GDP, which is gross domestic product, in contrast, Bhutan likes to call it gross national happiness. And it quantifies development in the terms of the economy, the environment, and the culture of Bhutan. Ultimately, it wants to satisfy all of those things. It wants to create a balance between the spiritual and the material. What a concept, right? So what they did is they started, this gross national happiness was first coined by Bhutan's king in the 1970s. But they have been struggling and consistently, smallly working to integrate it as part of the foundation of Bhutan's actual development. Now, I'm not going to say spiritual development or economic development, but development period. It's a very, and they are completely at odds with a very traditional model that is shared throughout the world with regard to unfettered economic growth.
So it's an interesting vibration to me. They want to use GNH, or Gross National Happiness, as both a measurement standard and a policy goal. And they are genuinely forging forward towards a culturally rich and economically sustainable model of development, this little tiny place. And so there's a Ms. Cleo, how do they do that? Well, in 2005, since 2005, they have been conducting surveys. And surveys have their purpose. I don't want you all to turn up your nose at a survey. But they have been conducting these surveys based on 9 domains identified to reflect the mission of Gross National Happiness. It is psychological well-being, health, education, time use, good governance, cultural diversity and resilience, community vitality, ecological diversity and resilience, and living standards. Now, that pretty much covers all of those base places. Actually, I would think that with regard to the United States, we've forgotten about half of those. You understand? And that's probably why we find ourselves in much of the situation that we are. They believe that this index is both an instrument of public imagination and an instrument of public policy. And imagine if you could bring people together to view our existence, to view our country that way, and that if big businesses and politicians understood that what we need to do is to sustain our people. And by that, we assist them. We create this foundation. And they have constitutionally adopted this tenet of gross national happiness. And it is going to become a continuing part of their planning and their policy making. In 2009, Green Schools for Green Bhutan program has been attempting to instill a conservation ethic into the nation's children. You understand? They're starting at the base. They're starting with our future. And they are continuing to promote a sustainable economy guided by nothing more than gross national happiness. Once again, I think that we could take away a great deal from that. I'm going to give you all a Twitter handle, go ahead and follow them. They've got some great information, and they helped lead me to some of the facts that I am sharing with you all today, and that is at Sustain Possible, Sustain Possible, Possible. Hit them up. I will be following them today myself. And actually, if you go to, where am I at? If you go to blogs.worldwatch.org, Sustainability Possibility, and it's the World Watch Institute that has up this website. And again, with the objective being about sustainability and how we achieve that to a positive end, to a nurturing end. Okay? So that's me for today. I just got my holler up from my producer that I got 90 seconds to go. So with that being said, my dears, I appreciate you. Have a most delicious week and join me back here on Wednesday. We're sure to have another delicious conversation. Until then, take care of yourselves and take care of the people who love you. Peace.